Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nancy, and I want to welcome to my very second show for Blog Talk Radio. I welcome all of you, and I'm sitting here with a fresh cup of hot tea. Have you settled in for the night? I wonder how many are you laying in bed or in a lounge chair. What is your weather like? Are you quiet? Do you hear the storm outside? Is there one blowing and gusting against the house? What happens when you're sitting quiet listening to the show and you hear a bump? Perhaps a scratch against the window. What happens when you're sitting there and you feel as though someone is listening? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. In the first show, and I encourage you to go back, I explained how I got to this place in my life to even explore the possibility that there are beings that we cannot see, those of us who've preceded us in death, family and friends, and those who are stuck and people will never know from eons beyond us, that coexist with us in our space, but not necessarily in our dimension. And that's what we're going to explore for my shows for weeks and months and hopefully years to come. If you're interested in what happened to me, I had cancer and then went through divorce, and the search for knowledge. What happens when we die? If those of you sitting in the audience have had a traumatic experience and or have lost someone in the family, we grieve so. And it's not necessarily that it's just for them that you grieve. It's your loss that you grieve. When people face death, particularly at a young age, what you're also grieving is a loss of what is possible for you. And when you face that, you will change everything. I ended a marriage 6 months after cancer surgery. And then 2 years later, Doc said I was going to live. I was so flabbergasted. I was actually amazed. And I said one day in the car, April 30th, 1990, my birthday, thank you. Now I don't know who I'm talking to. After you go through a lot of trauma, you sometimes lose your faith. And I was just yelling in my car going down the freeway, thank you for my life. And if you wish, I will work for you the rest of my life. Now, I wasn't directing to anybody. I was just speaking to the universe. Whoever can control things, I was hoping that someone would hear me and not let me have that happen to me again. 5 days later, I witnessed for the first time a psychometry reading, a foreign word to me. I was so astounded that I wanted to try it. Well, I tried it all right. Haven't stopped talking since. I loved it. Couldn't explain what was happening. Someone had the nerve to say, oh, you must be psychic. And after I repelled at the thought of that, I calmed down. But the interest of what I was doing was more than my fear of being called a psychic. 2 years later, I ended a 24-year career at Pacific Bell. So here I am. If you want to know more, this is the first show. So go back to this is the second show. So that was the first show I talked about biography. And what we're talking about tonight, just for about 15 more minutes, I would like to discuss with you those things that you cannot explain. As you're sitting listening to me, conjure up a thought, a memory of when something might have frightened you. Now, I'm talking about what you weren't able to see. Perhaps you had something touch against your cheek, and or you had an opportunity to go somewhere. Someone's thinking about when they traveled. And if that person does hear me say this, I'd welcome a chat room or call in. Evidently went touristing, and I can see them going through a tunnel, and the feel of going through the tunnel, walking through it, and then halfway you stop. And it's like a sudden feel of, I don't know if I can go further, but I can't back up. That is residue energy. And sometimes when things happen to us, it isn't always a spirit person or a ghost. So I would like to explore that with you tonight. The second half of the show, I am a psychic medium, and I can help people, and I have. In the quest for knowledge, to find out what happens with our soul after death, in that process, I allow the psychic abilities to grow and manifest to higher degrees to help people. But it was almost as in to say, if I help them and I grow as a person, I'm going to learn more. And that opened my eye to allow me to see beyond the physical realm. And I'm speaking to spirit people saying one day, well, thank goodness she can finally see us. All she was seeing is a blurb. From that day forth, which is only a few months after I stepped into this world and was called a psychic, I could see spirit people. Have I been scared? You bet I have. I think it's not necessarily just a moment of scared as a moment of being unaware. I would at times welcome something to give me a startle. But I've been in this business long enough that I almost encourage it to reinforce the opportunity to learn more. So every day I have a session with somebody that brings up the death of someone in the family. I go, wow, another opportunity to talk to a spirit person. Well, I had a young college girl call, if she's listening, hello. I won't say a name to embarrass her, but she had activity in her apartment with a roommate. After long discussion, how to get rid of a spirit that isn't welcome, we came to the conclusion the energy from the young lady created a poltergeist activity. There's all kinds of things that are happening beyond the sight and eye. And as we start getting it from chapter to chapter, week to week, yes, a chapter, I'll invite anybody to become part of my books. I would like to explore how you feel about all this. How is it that we are talking about the unseen? There are the wonderful movies. I have it written down in another segment about two others, and it's called The Others. Here they co-invited Nicole Kidman in the movie The Others. I know many of you have seen that, where she lived in a house and coexisted with a living family and their possessions, yet they were by themselves. The living people would hear noises and wouldn't be able to identify them. So have you ever been in a place where you've heard something, footprints, breathing, being a part of somebody, but not fully all? The other day I had a reading and I was describing a gentleman where I only could see from the top up. Very interesting, I thought. Why isn't he showing me the bottom down? After I kind of witnessed him, he was not struggling, but he was faint. They gave me a clue that it had been many, many years since he remembered being a flesh person. When people sometimes will pass over, they're very hugging to the earth, and they're more solid. Remember in the movie Ghost? Patrick Swayze had gone down into a tunnel to the subway. And while down there, it had only been a very, very short time that he passed, he was solid enough that when the gentleman approached him and they learned how to kick the can, after a period of time, spirit people say to me, that isn't as interesting as when I first passed. And they will then lose the interest of trying to keep up how they looked while alive. And when you hear about people saying, I could only see a part of them, I could see an arm sticking there. On Coast to Coast AM, one of my favorite night shows, just yesterday, day before, was a photograph of a car with a trail of legs walking, but only from the knee down. That spirit person wanted to be acknowledged, but remembered their leg, but not the rest of their body. And that happens a lot. One time I gave a reading. and all I could see was the profile of this spirit person. And I swear, that was a handsome profile. Very, very strong nose. Very Roman. But when that person was alive, it might have been the comment, my gosh, look at that nose. Very strong face. So I've been kind of like all over. But the reason is I want to conjure up thoughts in your mind. I want you to think about what I'm saying. And if you have an opportunity to call me and talk about what is really important to you and what has happened to you, I'd be very interested in that. So do me a favor. And while you're thinking about it, I encourage you to call in. Right at the moment, there is no callers, but I do encourage you to come and join me on air. If not, I will open up the chat room. This is the second time I've gone on, and I'm just learning where all the buttons are. And the second half of the show, I will allow people to ask me questions. So let's back up for just a moment. I have people call me and say, Nancy, you're talking about this and you're talking about that. Yes, the bump in the night scared me. And I meant to share with you a story of what really scared me. I was driving to an uncle's funeral. I have two uncles from my mother's side of the family. And my one uncle, the youngest of four children that my mother was part of, passed away some years back. And he died of cancer, and he had lost some weight. We were driving down the road to the funeral of his older brother. And he all of a sudden manifests in the car in the seat next to me, on top of my purse and everything else. And I was so stunned that he would come so solidly. Remember, I could see through him, but for enough for me to see how he looked in the prime of his life. And he said to me, he says, of all people, you shouldn't be scared of me, but you should also know better not to be grieving. Wow. Talk about an enlightened moment, of course. Just because I do what I do doesn't mean that I also don't grieve. So we have the gift and we can work at this. That doesn't mean we don't grieve our own family. We're not necessarily just the grieving their loss, but grieving what we will not have of them anymore. So my uncle straightened me out. But my little car did move around the road just a little bit. I don't think I was in any danger, but he certainly startled me. And so think about it for a moment, and I would like to finish the thought I had before. There are a lot of ways which you can determine the noise in the house, the rustle against the window, and wonder if you have a spirit in your house, a ghost in your house, or a poltergeist in your house. It's very, very exciting, very, very interesting to explore survival. And we all believe that there's spirit and spirit land or heaven, where the people that we love and cherish will go and be very happy in the pillars of marble and whatever the city is made out of. Why would they want to come back here? So we assume that what is here on our plane is maybe the ghost of the poltergeist of the stuck beings. And it's not so. People all pass over. And if they go to heaven, or that place of study, I like to call it, they are and can come back. And that's why people ask me about spirit guides. Is our family helping us? You're home alone and it's very quiet. You're sitting still. Yet all of a sudden, the air shifts, changes, and you feel a coldness surround you. Well, as you've watched many of the TV shows with mediums and the TAPS group, and they're and doing an investigation. Oh, I'd like to give a plug for somebody. I've just connected a couple months back with a group out of Northern California, where I lived for most of my life. www.californiahaunts.org. You can see a little brief of those people on their radio show that I was on last Wednesday night on my website, nancymatz.com. And they do investigations like a lot of them do on TV. And the idea is that spirit people and ghosts like the electricity to form more of their density so that they are acknowledged by you. Absolutely true. The other thing I find true is that when a spirit person is nearest you, whatever part of your body is the most sensitive, oftentimes you will feel it there. Say your forearms and your hands are the most sensitive on your body. You may feel pressure or tingling or prickling on that part of your body. For me, it's my face, my cheeks, my neck. And when I first started in the business, I would know spirit persons around because the face, my cheeks, would be flush or prickly. When I do readings for a long time, my neck used to get very tired. And I contribute to not just stress, but the constant activity of their energy pressing against me. Right? The other thing that spirit people and ghosts like to do, whether unconscious of it or not, is they do use electricity, and that has a tendency to turn light switches on, radios on, turn the TV off, ring the doorbell, or give you a call. There's a little lady that I was a friend of in the spiritualist church in the early 90s. Her name is Judy. And I met her at the Diva Destination event last May in Roseville. And she came to me and she says, "Well, I'm finally dying." I says, "You are, Judy. I didn't know you were." And she gave me this story. She did pass away. I think it was October. The next night, on my cell phone, I got a call. The numbers were 1-111-111-111-111. I did have the foresight the next day. I was going to drive the phone down to Verizon, but I did call repair. And I also checked with two people, friends, clients, who are in the industry. And as far as I know, there's no way that could have happened. What was interesting is 2 days later, middle of the night, I got a call from Judy. And this time I listened. Sure enough, it was her voice. And the screen said, 1-111-111-111. You've heard people say, and I believe I read this, and I don't know if it was Art Bell. A lady was thinking about someone in her family. She calls Auntie up, her grandma, and they had this wonderful talk. Then she touches base with another relative a couple of days later and starts boasting of this wonderful conversation. And the other relative looked at her and a frown on her face. She says, "Well, Auntie's been dead for 6 years." So one of the most uncommon, the most welcome, most baffling is phone calls from the dead. That's the most unusual. But what happens the most is the noises, the footprints, a dog barking in spirit, lights moving, sounds unrecognizable. We're not talking the creaks in the wood in the attic, but the things that are happening around you that normally wouldn't. One of the most things that common things also is if you're still, you can hear the spirit person sitting on the couch or next to you. This is probably the most common. When I was early in my career as a spirit, as a psychic medium, I was a single lady after the divorce. And I was still at a point where I could get rattled pretty easily. One night I went out ready for bed, and I laid there quietly. You know how you collect yourself when you lay in bed, and I just closed my eyes. And as I did so, I felt as somebody would crawl up on the bed, crawl up next side of me, and lay down. Oh, my gosh. My heart was racing. Even though I was in the business, I hadn't been in long enough to be calm when supernatural things occur, as when my uncle appeared in the car with me. I gently looked over in the dark. I looked, couldn't see. I laid still, and before long, the morning came. The next night, I did have a light on, and it happened again. And it happened off and on for such a long time that I could tell you maybe 6 months, but it ended up not being every night. What I felt was a very small person falling up into the bed next to me. And sure enough, there would be a small indent as though a little child were laying there. Truly, it was very unnerving. But after a while, I couldn't see who it was because I was in the first person situation. But one of my girlfriends, who is very intuitive, said, "You have a little girl crawling in bed with you, not in the sheets, on top of it." And after a while, I just accepted it. I invited her to lay there. And after a while, she left. Maybe she felt comfort, and it was okay then to go on. How many of you have been in a situation where your children's pet passes away? I might have told the story, but I don't think I told it to the last show. I interviewed some people in Carmichael, and when I came in the backyard was the barking of a dog. And I went, Well, how lovely. They have a pet. I'm very much into dogs and cats. It was wonderful. But as the evening went on, and I was trying to talk to the ladies, and then we had a little break, and I said to the lady of the house, gee, I'm having such a great evening. I'm talking to your ladies. It's in a group. It's very fun. They're trying to listen to me, but I'm struggling because I can't hear them very well. The lady looks at me, the hostess for the evening, and she said, well, I don't understand what the problem is. I said, I would really like it if you would get your dog, put it in the garage, or bring it in the house to go to the bedroom, because the dog won't stop barking. Larger dog. Collie, German Shepherd sounding lab, a little bigger. She looked at me and her eyes welled up, and she says, we have no dog. Our dog died, and that dog is buried in the backyard. I said, what kind? Shepherd. I went, oh, the dog hasn't left. It's lonely. Opened the door and invited in. We never heard barking. It was wonderful. Ah, catch your breath. How many of you love your pets and are dreading the day you have to say goodbye? Realize you're saying goodbye to the flesh, but not to the spirit of soul. I can't hardly even address those of you listening who've lost children. That has to be a whole separate show. But for those of us who've lost family, who've lost pets, we have to get past the grieving to understand the process. That's another show. Tonight I want to help you to look at, see if you can see, understand when a spirit or ghost is in our presence. And what I have found, that if you wish to see one, you have to be calm to see. If you get really riled up and you get really excited, your life force looks like a firecracker to me. You cannot be calm enough then to see. So I invite you, if you've had experience and you expect to be able to have another experience like that, is to relax. I didn't say meditate, I said relax and allow. If you feel the gust of wind where there's no wind to open, if you feel somebody touch your shirt, your cheek, if you have an aroma in your house, be calm, be glad, and say hello. For those of you who have a sense of something going on, a little hand mirror will help you trick your eyes to help your brain see what you cannot see, but you can if you distract your eyes. Say, if you're looking at a window, maybe you can't see a spirit face in there. But if you hold a hand mirror up and flick it toward the window, if there's something there, you will. How many, and I believe there was another photograph on Art Bell, of a child in front of a TV. And in the TV, there is a picture of a child. Now, when they were in that situation, taking the picture of the child from the TV, there was nothing in the wind, and the TV was turned on. There was nothing they could see because the brain would not acknowledge what the eyes were seeing. So the camera took the picture and let them see it later on. That's why you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, we went to a tourist town, we took pictures, and we knew a house was haunted, we took pictures, only when we got home. And the same EVPs. You have the tape recorder, you're listening, wanting a voice, speak calmly, or you get riled up, so you get riled up, but you do something to get their attention. And your ears, though they hear, your brain will not allow. So what you do is you go home with that, you take your camera home, and then you view what you've seen, or you view after you said something, to see whom has joined you for that tour. This is very, very common. So California Haunts just went volcano. Get on their site. I think you'd really enjoy it. I've teamed up with them, and I know that what I do can be called psychic work. But I also like to refer to as remote viewing. So the leader of the group, Charlotte. She called me up. I told her what I was having a perception of before I saw any picture of the hotel, and gave her a layout and where to look and what to see. Then she brought along her psychic and almost lined up everything I said this other lady also saw. She was on premise. She's an empath. I am a psychic, but also a remote viewer. So we've teamed up, californiahaunts.org, or go to nancymatz.com. And the other site I'd like to enjoy, have you enjoy, is a new website, plural words here. It's, the words are ghost, goblins, spirits.com. And that website is to reflect the new books, one of the new, of the three books I'm writing now. And that will be called Do You Know Your Resident Ghost? And on there is a lot of interesting things about ghosts and things I'm going to do. And the chapters, some of the chapters of the book I'll be covering. The other one that you may enjoy, and these sites are being developed and they will be different, they're not going to be all identical, is going to be called Proof of Soul Survival. And as we get the weeks go on, I will then go to a more sensitive subject matter of those who have lost loved ones. That book is on a heartfelt, where the ghost, god, and spirits is on enlightenment, and let's have fun. Okay, we have, it's about 25 after, and I would like to turn around now, and I'm looking at my screen, and I have a couple people have come in, and I'm going to be asking questions. I encourage you to call in. This is the second time I've looked at the chat room, and this is very, very interesting, and I think I've got a pretty good handle on it. So I allow they allow me to have five callers, and I know sometimes it's a little slow coming in. To let you know, we had 18 listeners last time. Last Monday, we had 54 people listen to my show. So when you come on, present your question. Try to keep it simple. I'd like to have a question within a minute or two so that I have time to answer it and allow other people to call in. If you have something you would like me to put in one of my books, you can email me at nancy@nancymatz.com. I always encourage good stories. As I catch up, because I've developed five new websites, I'll be going to MySpace and the Blog Talk Radio blog space, and I'm going to then catch up those who have come to visit. I want to give you acknowledgement and put you on my page, and it's a matter of just catch up. Anyway, let me know when you're taking questions that I'm asking of you. I have a little happy smile face, and this young lady is Tully, T-U-L-L-Y, so she can either call or type something, and I think I can read the screen just fine, and we'll try to take calls. Until then, I'd like to explore more stories of ghosts or spirits, and of course, you can direct me any way you want. I would like to give another credit to a young man in the audience who has created for my website original music for me. And I would like you to go visit my website, Paragon Music by Del Hollingsworth. And he's opened a business. If you're interested in music, let me know and I'll give you his link. Or you can go to my website and click on a logo for him that gives you the music. Also with that, I should be giving credit to, let's see here. Come on, Tilly. If you're there, go ahead and write me a note here. There it is. I knew I could just see that she was doing, what is this? Let me go ahead and answer this, and I'll get back to talking about other incidents that I'd like to share with you. She's asking, what is the significance of my paranormal experience of August 2006. What is the bond between ST and I, and can you tell me where, when, and how to meet Francie? Wow, at least it's under a minute. The paranormal experience is very exciting but scary. When I've read that word, paranormal experience, I believe sometimes we need a catalyst to allow those buttons that allow us to be psychic to be more intensely attuned. And that was the first thing I picked up from that. I tell people that when I have always been psychic. I remember some amazing stories when I was a teenager, raising my children. So I was always right there, but I had no control. So when I got into the psychic world, and then one of the people I wanted to give credit to was Ken and Ollie Keck of the Spirit of Grace in Citrus Heights with the Spiritual Church. They taught me to learn control. So the paranormal experience that you had was not only to get you aligned to do more, but also to learn control. What is the bond between ST and I? One of the evenings in the future, we will speak of souls that come in by choice, not necessarily just a reincarnation, I have to be here. I do believe that you were a sibling situation in a past life. It doesn't mean that you're not soulmates, not necessarily just love, not lovers. I didn't say it because you're not telling me if ST, a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, that soulmates come in all forms. And I believe whether you had a positive, negative, or a positive, negative in this lifetime, you will be a witness to each other's growth and progress. And when and how to meet Francine. I'm not sure I know who Francine is. Is it a spirit person? You want to know how to line up with that person? Or is Francine someone you're supposed to meet to have a relationship? I don't know. Is there a spirit around me? And if so, who it is and what does it want? Blue Diamond, what a wonderful name. There are spirits around us all the time. Rarely do I see anybody but a family member first. Have you ever seen the Hillbilly show on TV? And they had what they called the grandma. You have a little grandma that was a little spit of a thing and lots of energy. And it's almost like she stomps her feet around you at times to get going, get going. So I don't know if you have something you need to get on the ball or start. It almost makes me think a startup or a get going on. She feels that whatever you're going to get started here, get going, is the first thing for a lot of things that happen in your life. The Blue Diamond, you'll have to have get back to me and see what that means to you. Anyway, that little woman looks like the grandma on Hillbilly Show. I've now forgotten the name of it. What's that TV show? It was quite a while back, and they discovered oil, and they went to Beverly Hillbillies, something like that. Totally. Francine had the same as experience as me. Can you tell me when and where and how to meet Francine? And then down here says, Francine had the same experience as me. Gosh, I still don't know how to answer that. Nature 6, hi, just wanted to ask. My great-grandmother, Irina, passed last October. Was wondering if she can help me do what she used to do, spiritual healing, helping others. Grandmother passed. And the first person she saw when she opened her eyes was a little tiny man. He had dark clothes on and very skinny. I don't know if that was her husband or her father. She tells me she was very strong-minded and really could create a lot of energy around her by thinking. And that seems to be what she wants you to do and helping others also. The focus and the strength of her mind is what she's trying to teach you to do. There's such a thing as Reiki, hands-on healing, and that's when we pull energy from our back to our arms and into our hands. She wants me to think that you have the ability, as strong a mind as she is, that you have to pull in the energy without needing to put your hands on. It's kind of like balling up in the middle of my hand and then pushing it across the room. I feel like your back is very strong and you can really direct it, but if you use your mind and your body, you'll be very, very strong. I'm also getting told by her to, whether you've done this, you will be very good at what we call remote healing. Do not think that is your imagination. I feel like you've already tried that, and it is successful for you. Tully, August of 2006. Tully, how clairvoyant and empathic am I? I'm being told that you also have dreams our prophetic incidences happen, kind of like a haunt, it keeps coming and coming and coming. Empathic, I have a friend who's very empathic, and I have two people I know, and they do wonderful ghost hunting. They can come to a place, just feel the atmosphere, and in California haunts, Charlotte has a woman working for her who's very, very empathic, and almost a channeling happens. And I feel like you could do that if you want. The downside to that is don't get scared. But also with that, there's a difference between channeling and transfiguration. A transfiguration goes one step beyond just hearing. That's when your body has allows the spirit to walk into you and becomes too tight. So I don't do that anymore because I like complete control of my body. People who are empathic have a tendency to allow spirit to walk through them. It has to be your choice. I almost feel like you're so empathic you could probably see words, along with some dreaming, clairvoyant work. Wow. I think you're very, very soft. I call you people broad-shouldered. Everybody comes to you for information and help. They know that that you will help them spontaneously. You will give them information over and over and over. That's you, Telly. Blue Diamond. So then this little lady is trying to get me to basically pull myself together and totally saying, yes, 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 yes. I like this little lady. She is a motivator for you, Blue Diamond. I don't know what you mean by basically pulling myself together. When a client calls and says, Nancy, you wrote the book, I'm in the funk, and I am. I don't know what to do. I'm very unhappy. I back off. I sit back. I put my hands up just like I'm doing now, and I say, wait, calm down. If everybody was so complacent, so happy, there would never be any growth. So in time of turbulence, you have to step out of the emotion, say, what is the lesson and what's being presented to me so I can grow and be better and be more? Remember I was sharing with you? Remember, you have to go to the first show to listen all of half hour of me before I answer questions. The cancer was a terrible experience, awful. And it would just seem like it was staying. I had three surgeries. It just kept me, put me back in the hospital. I was scared. But I now look back and realize I changed everything. Everything. If I'd never gotten cancer, I would never have sought the truth. Blue Diamond, she doesn't sound familiar. Look in your family tree for a woman who lost weight at the end of her life. She is medium boned, medium to lighter complexion. I feel like she lost enough weight that her bone in her face is protruding. She also makes me think she has a strong nose, but not a hook. Thin lips, possibly might have lost some teeth. She is not showing me her hair. They might have buried her in a dress that was too big for her, of a very light to white cream. That's what she has on. But that, there you go. That's her physical description. I will have to contact you for a full. Oh, thank you very much, Tully. All right. Let's see here, kids. I'm still trying to figure out how to do this screen. Okay. Now, what's interesting is spirit people will often say they go to their own funerals. If they present themselves to me, depending how many years she's passed, I never saw feet or hair. I saw her arms. They were very thin. I didn't see long, baggy arms. She lost weight, but I want to say 25 maybe pounds, not 50 to 100. So she might have been always a slim person, Blue Diamond. I had an experience of talking to a lady who lived in Phoenix, and unfortunately she had lost a child. Her husband was at work, and she could stand it no more. Someone had told her about me. This is like 10, 12 years back. And she was talking about how her daughter had died. And I saw the daughter visiting the father. And I spoke to her and I said, she's visiting her dad. Her dad is grieving and she's very upset. But she wants me to tell you that she's in, and I only saw, I can't remember now, but I have it written down, kind of a red fuchsia colored dress, white socks with a ripple of lace around it, and black patent leather shoes. And she said, oh, my God, that's what we buried her in. I said, she shows me what she was buried in so that you know I am seeing her. That did a great deal of healing. The oft eyes will either what they were buried in or as a photograph that you will find them. How do spirit people see us? Do they see us in the flesh or is it energy sealed? How do they view us? They actually see us as we are seeing ourselves. Do you know that when you look in a mirror at yourself, you only see a reflection of what you look like, not your true self? That's how they are. They see us almost as we really are. When I was in from 90 to 92, 93, 1990, 92, 93, I was doing rescue work. I was having fantastic meditation, out-of-body experience. Remember, I was learning to control the gift. A spirit person said to me one day, when you first get into the business, I mean, that was not his words, but when you first get into the practice of doing this, you are so excited. Every switch is turned on. We disrupt their space. So they see a beacon of energy around us. Those people who are not into the metaphysics, into the psychic realm, their energy may be calm or excited according to what's going on, but we radiate differently because of our interest and excitement of knowledge of this world. And for me, I must have looked like a lighthouse on a shoreline, just bling, bling, bling. And I was pulling in like the show medium on TV. It was amazing. I have hours and hours and hours of being taken over. I've now stepped back to that only because I don't have enough life in me to tackle it all. They do see energy fields as we can see energy fields. I was sharing a story the other day, Tully, of a gentleman. His name is Cliff, longtime friend. And I really do work a lot of hours. In Sacramento, I lived there almost my entire life. And while I was working late, he called me up and said, I'll take you and get you a dinner. We went to a favorite Mexican restaurant across from Sears off of Arden Way. And if Cliff hears this, he'll have a good chuckle. I rarely drink. Half my family's American Indian, and I've never been good at drinking. But, you know, he was driving, and he treated me to a drink in the lounge area with the bar. It was very, very attractive, all Mexican attire in there. It was wonderful. And while we were standing there, unfortunately, two young men were fighting at the other side. And I had been, it was 1993, 94. And as we were sipping the margarita, because I don't drink fast, it was just like really sipping, this fight had broke out. And Cliff, he grabbed my arm and we were about ready to leave, like everybody was running out. And I wasn't. In fact, my eyes must have been really big and wide open. And what was happening, the two men's life, the lights going around them, the aura energy fields were like a sunburst off the sun. Boom, boom, like this. What was really interesting is in a fright and flight condition, we will pull our life force from the backside of our bodies, from the top to the feet, and push it in front of us. So all the men and women running out were the real show, because all their colors were in front of them. And Cliff looks at me and he says, "You're enjoying this, aren't you?" I went, "Wow." Spirit people see the same thing, and they're more attracted to the ones that look really different. Why would they be attracted to someone who's too calm, unless it was a family member? So those people, like a poltergeist activity, if your emotions and your hormones and your schoolwork or your life work or you're on drug or alcohol, this could be another show, ladies and gentlemen, your life force is really bizarre, out of control. Or perhaps very different from everybody else. Spirit people are going to want to know what you're doing. They will see those lights and those colors radiating off of you like a starburst or a firecracker or like one of my clients, I almost said her name and I'm sorry, like atomic bomb going off, kaboom. They're going to rush over because you're going to stand out. That's why we need to keep calm. And it's not so calm as they're not going to be talking to you. They know who you are because you look different because you're conscious. Those of us in metaphysics, I tenderly say conscious. Those who have not or have yet to come in, those are not quite conscious. We look different to them. So it's not just on the physical look, it's also on energy look. That's why when you hear of people, and we talk, and I have a lady in Sacramento named Karen who's helping people with possession, we're talking attachment, not possessions. And these people have had traumatic things, and that will attract a traumatic spirit. And sometimes that spirit will cling to that person during trauma because that's all they know of their past, their life that they left. So there's all kinds, and that's another show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about attachments and possessions later on. Right now, get you interested in spirit people, get you interested in ghosts, get you interested in being aware and wanting to be aware and see what feels and looks like. Tully, are there any spirits visiting me tonight? Actually, there is. You have two from your left shoulder to the front. And then from your left shoulder, you have one going around to your spine. There is a man who's thicker bodied, medium to tan, with dark hair, and looks young. Now, that threw me off. He has a T-shirt on, but not white. It is of color. Kind of makes me think army green kind of a color. Not implying military, but kind of an army green. This could be a spirit family member who appears to be younger, or maybe you need to think about who has been lost in your family or friends. It could be a younger man. The haircut is short to his head, kind of a Mediterranean hair, tight to the head, a wavy, curly, not a crew cut or anything. Thicker face, no beard, no mustache, normal size nose, not a pug nose, but a gentle slope to the nose. Very handsome, deep-set eyes, looks like dark eyes. 5'10 at the shortest, 6 foot at the tallest, very brawn. Thick body. For some reason, he wants me to see him. The others are kind of like shadows. So all you have to do is think, calm down, try to think who he is, why should I see him so clearly, and then allow the other people. One is a medium-sized, 5'3", maybe 115-pound grandmother, a little broader shoulder, not a stoop shoulder as they got older, nor a bent back, stood straight up, kind of getting a little fast here, I'm sorry. Comes through me really quick, straight up and down, very pleasant, small-busted, small-hip woman. She's a grandmother. She wants to be seen second. Kind of going off and on here. Tully, just that you're intuitive enough. Sit and relax and see if you can get communication there. One of the ways that we can communicate with spirit that I really believe that people get into it is automatic writing. This is a non-invasive, let your arm, not just your fingers or your elbow, but your whole complete arm with a pen or a pencil. Left hand, if you're left, right-handed, pull maybe a stack of 20, one sheet at a time until you make in circles, until words start appearing. That way, they control the arm without you worrying about what you're hearing. I had a gentleman and his wife on the phone the other day say, I want to learn, I want to hear. I said, please trust your instincts. That first hit is spirit communication, but with automatic writing, you don't have to try to worry about that first hit immediately. Yes, you can do pendulum work. I don't use pendulum, so I can't address on that. I did automatic writing for a while. I do trust the instincts. I do hear now. It did before. I wasn't paying attention. So you have to do what's comfortable for you, Tully. But I would suggest if you've not been in the business too long, automatic writing would be the first step. Well, I seem to have some bashful people tonight. Last time I had only one caller, but we kept 18 listeners. So I welcome you, no matter what state you're in. If you're brave enough, just call, say hello. And if you have a question, someone else is going to anyway, yes, I'm that intuitive. One night I was doing a show. Oh, I'd like to give credit here. Let me mention this really quick. I have teamed up with a couple of ladies, and they're young women who are what we call mirror twins. They are absolutely lovely. They live in Portland, Oregon, and their site is called contactpsychics.com. They're also on my website, nancymatz.com, and we have created a sister site. Datemyfate.com is their site dedicated to relationships. My website, datingrelationshippsychic.com. www.thewellbeingcoach.com. We have connected the two together in hopes that if one of us is a free and the other two are not, you should be able to get hold of us just about any time. We also have Click for Advisor. I have to apologize for the last 3-4 weeks. I've been very busy building the websites, getting ready for the show, and getting ready to write these. I've been writing the books, but spend more time on them. So I'll have Click for Advisor if you wish to use that versus schedule appointment, use a credit card. I'll try to have that on a lot more from this point, so that you have one or two, like Telly says, are there any spirits visiting me tonight? Why schedule a session if you can do 3, 4, 5 minutes? All right, ladies and gentlemen. While we're waiting, wait a minute, we have Christy. Okay, I knew there was someone. Christy, BTR support. I'm not positive I know what that is. But in pink, do you see any spirits around me? Christy, being a female, hello. Interesting, it would be pink. I wonder how she does that. When you first wrote, when you were thinking of calling me, writing in, I kind of looked at the screen and I knew someone would be writing. And I do see a couple family members, people around you. Don't know if they're family, but there's a young child there that has brown hair and it's a female. I can only say that if I were standing, it would be to my waist and shorter. That makes me think under 10. So I don't know if you have anybody in your family who's lost a child. Miscarriage sometimes could be a child. If you had someone in your family that lost a child, and those years would add up someone under 10, they sometimes can grow in the family. So I have the sadness of a child being lost. That child's around you. Now, Christy, there is some excitement of newness around you. When I look at the name, something exciting and new going to happen for you. I wouldn't know if it's a trip or a relationship or even a marriage, but you have something exciting, so that's something to look forward to. There is also a man stepping forward who is behind you. The female small person was in front of you, and there's a very, very tall man behind you, only that he's older. I may assume that's a grandfather, tall, straight and down. He is bending over from the mid-back up. I see that in people who bent over or at their careers in life or worked really hard. Maybe the audience are not aware that I have an engineering background when I was working at Pacific Bell. In the last 5 handful years, I was an engineering supervisor. But if I don't stand up straight, I have a tendency to bend over because of all the years of bending over working. This very tall man standing behind you bends over like that. Hard work or work at a desk, I can't tell. So look at your family tree there. Do you know if they are astral projecting rather than being in spirit? Actually, that is two different things. Astral projection is a piece of you being transported from the flesh. Now, that's different. When I talk to a spirit person and they're not in the room with the people I'm talking to, I can feel them. I feel their life force touching me. That's not astral projection. That's thought projection or just the energy. That's another show, by the way. There's a wonderful man, Astral Projection, Soul Traveler, that's the name of the book, Albert Taylor from Southern California. Read up on that gentleman, alberttaylor.com. He wrote Soul Traveler. Wonderful. He's a NASA engineer and surrendered to the astral travel. You learn a lot from knowing about his work. You know, the astral projecting rather than being in spirit. There's a book called The Boy Who Saw True, written 50-some years back, and it was about a boy who saw a living man in his room at night, and the man said, "I'm here to be your teacher," but during the day he wasn't aware of it. The book is called The Boy Who Saw True, and the man, when he finally passed away, it was a prime minister from England who the author said it was, but they never gave the name. Christy. And then she says, "Christy, I have always thought my grandfather, always. I have never met him. Is there a reason he is there?" I don't mean to get you goosebumpity, But the minute I read, is there a reason he is there? He must have been a medium-sized boned man, not a fragile nor a very heavy bone. As I said that, I saw a very large hand, long fingers, rest onto your right shoulder. I'm doing more than just projecting my energy here, Tully. I'm actually remote viewing this. And if you go to CaliforniaHaunts.org in a couple of days, the organizer is going to write down some of the things that I was able to project and tell her of this hotel volcano that are psychic on-premise, verified. So when I'm doing this, I have clients in Singapore that are by email and client in Greece. So this is very easy for me to do. Christy, not to get you emotional, he's putting his right hand onto your right shoulder. And he's just resting. So it's a peaceful, I want you to just relax and I want you to feel this. He must have had a little bigger hand, longer fingers. And I feel like his skin was very, not oily, but very smooth on his hands and arms, very creamy color. So I feel like this is a very loving, loving touch on him. Nature 6, do you see a baby spirit around me? Do you feel I will have any more children in this lifetime? I am hearing a yes on this. Is there, do you feel, now this is what's interesting, Nature 6, I don't know if you're a man or a woman, and I don't know if you're a childbearing age or not, so I'm going to address it all. I have actually seen spirits around men. And the reason is I do believe now a spirit will come into this lifetime picking a parent it is meant to be born to. So if a man has a spirit around him, it will drive him to want to find a partner and then to be a father. Now, this partner was always meant to be, but the getting together is prompted by the spirit saying, it's almost time for me to come. My daughter-in-law knew immediately when she was going to be having a baby within a week or two, as myself. Within the next day or two, I knew I was pregnant, and I knew I was going to have a boy or girl because I've been dreaming about this. So if you were to write back, Nature 6, do you see a spirit? Do you feel a masculine or a boy around you? That's a child yet to be born. You are young, yes, Nature 6. So absolutely, I do hear a yes on that. It doesn't mean you don't have more children, but oftentimes we'll be told at least that the one we're speaking to. And you said, do you see any more children? So you might have one now if you only have this one, or if you have more, I am at least seeing this masculine spirit around you. My sister had an unfortunate miscarriage, and I was seeing spirits around her. Because she was no longer able to have children, those children then moved to somebody who would bear them, the child, and then they were presented to my sister. My sister never had a solicit for adoption. These children were brought to her. So you will always raise and be emotionally influenced over the children that you were meant to in this lifetime. Christy, thank you. Tully, thank you so much. Nature 6. I have two. Go ahead. We are closing in on time, unfortunately, but I will continue answering the questions. I'm not sure I know how to type yet on the screen. I'll have to ask the twins that contact psychics. Nature 6, do you have any other questions? Go ahead. I want to play the music while she's doing that by Del Hollingsworth. I'm going to give him credit. If it goes on, that's Adele Hollingsworth, original music. If you would like to get information on that, I encourage you to get in touch with him. And the second one that he gave to me, and unfortunately I didn't click that on, but I want to share that with you, original music by Adele Hollingsworth. It's called Spring Rain. I work for BTR. If you want to talk about it at all, email. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. I don't know if we can hear you. I can help you figure out the chat. Oh, I do need help. Nature 6, I may just get hold of you, Christy, so you can help me figure out how to type on here. All right, girls, thank you so much. And I know there was a couple other people here. I've had fun with you tonight, and I look forward to all the other shows that we'll be doing.
Love Talk Radio.